1 Samuel 17 is a story of David and Goliath, and what I'd like to do is just pick up from this story a little phrase here in verse number 47, and it says this, "And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth." Now, of course, that is David, and he's speaking to Goliath, and that's what he says. He refers to the company of people that he's with, the nation of Israel, and he refers to them as the assembly. And what I want to do today is speak to young teenagers. And I want to just ask you, young teenagers, what are you going to bring into the assembly? Now, we're going to read a few verses here in relation to David, and we're going to find that David brings a lot into the assembly, but he's only between 15 and 19 years old, but he brings something to the assembly. Verse number 1. "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Shiloh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shiloh and Azekah and Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines." Verse number 17, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheese unto the captain of their thousand, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren." Verse number 32, "And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Now that's all we're going to read, and I know it's quite a bit of reading. Really do you well to read the whole story. But it's an interesting passage in relation to the assembly. Here's a young man. He's a young man and he's left home and he's come to his brethren. He's come and he's bringing them a gift. And while he's there bringing his brethren a gift, he comes to the realization there's an issue and he's there to address the issue. But it's an interesting scene where David comes to, because the description's given of the Philistines and just exactly where they were. They are in a place that's in between. Now, when it comes to names and words and all these things, I get tongue-tied very easily. I think you know that well. From Bridgewater, you know I can't spell either. But nonetheless, here's this man, David, and he identifies the place where the Philistines are located. They're in a place called Soko. It's a place of many bushes, or the place of a hedge. And it's between Soko and Azekah. Azekah is a place where the soil is turned over. So there's a place where there's a hedge. There's a place where the soil is turned. But then he says the actual place between those places, it is Ephes-Damon. It's a boundary of blood. In other words, right at the very edge of that place, there's droplets of blood. And that's where David finds the Philistines. They're in a place where there's shrubbery. They're in a place where there's flipped over soil. There's turned over soil. And there's a place where there's droplets of blood. You know, as I read that and I looked into those words, my mind went to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it sounds so similar, so close. Year God's husbandry. But it's so close, but it's not quite the same. You see, here's a place of many bushes. And when you come to Naboth and Ahab, Naboth had a vineyard. And what does Ahab want to do? Ahab wants to tear up the vineyard. He says, take away what's going to produce fruit. And let's just have a garden of herbs. It's a place where there's foliage, but there's no fruit. And then, of course, when you come to Azekah, that's a place that's marked by soil that's turned over. But it's a place where the soil's turned over, but there's no growth. Of course, Paul and the apostles, they speak and they say, I planted and Apollos watered. It's a place of growth, the local assembly. But you know, the next thing you're going to notice is the last place that they come to. It's just the boundary of blood. It's just a spot where blood droplets had fallen, but there's no sacrifice. Where does David go to, though? He doesn't go to a place where there's shrubbery. He doesn't go to a place where there's no growth. He doesn't go to a place where there's just droplets of blood. He says, take me to Elah, the valley of Elah, the place of a strong tree. You know, I hope when it comes to the assembly, we're heavy on the tree. I hope we're strong on the tree. And every Sunday morning as we come together, we have those emblems in their place there. And we come and we remember the tree and the man that died on the tree. But you know, the first thing I want you to notice about David is this. When it came to the Philistines, there's no commitment. They're just in an in-between place. But when it comes to David, he's a man of commitment. Let me ask you here, young people, are you committed to the local assembly? You know, it's interesting when it comes to David and his commitment. His father comes to him and says, David, it's time for you to go to your brothers. You need to go. What does David do? Is it just a bit of a haphazard thing where he hops up and makes his way and he just gathers? No. Everything's put in place first. He gets on the horn, I suppose. He calls a keeper and he says, I need someone here to look after my sheep. You know what it is? It's a little bit of maturity. Before he ever came into the assembly, before he ever came to Elah, there were signs of maturity. He had things in order in his little life. Yes, just the life of a teenager, but he had things in order. To come into the assembly, it's nice to see signs of maturity. But then he actually arrives with his brothers, and he gets there and he has his hands full. And he goes to the man that's the keeper of the carriage. It's really just the word, the stuff. He's just keeping all the stuff. And you know what David does? David comes and he unloads all the stuff. He says, I need to let go of all these things. Why? Because I need to be obedient to the Father. Listen, young people, if you're going to be in the assembly, you're going to have to let go of some stuff. You're not going to be able to come into the assembly with hands that are full, with hands that are burdened, with your backpack of all your things that you want to aspire to be and how you want to go about your life and so on. No, David comes. He's a man that's committed. He leaves the sheep. And he leaves the stuff. But you know, David doesn't just come to the valley with commitment. I want you to notice this. He comes to the valley with nourishment. You remember what his father gave him. His father, first of all, he says, I want to give you some parched corn. A large basket full. The next thing he says, I don't just want to give you a basket of large corn. He says, but I'm going to give you 10 loaves of bread. But in addition to the 10 loaves of bread, I'm going to give you 10 blocks of cheese. And you got to take all these things and bring them to your brethren. He says when it comes to the corn, he says the corn's for your brothers. When it comes to the bread's for the camp. When it comes to the cheese is for the captain. What are you bringing to the assembly? Are you going to bring something that's going to nourish the people of God? Or are you going to come into the assembly with something that's going to drain us and just suck the life out of us? Not David. David comes to a group of men. They're down and they're in despair. They've been struggling for 40 days now. They've risen every morning in fear. And into that camp comes a young man. And what's he there for? He's there to nourish the people of God. Can I encourage you, young men, come into the assembly to nourish the people of God. We need all the help we can get. Come into the assembly to nourish us. But you notice the order that's given. The first thing that's noted is this. David, he's instructed to bring parched corn. It's roasted corn. You see, when it comes to roasted corn, it's quick and it's easy. It's basically popcorn. He gets the cob of corn, and he puts it into the heat. And as it heats, it dries out, but it makes a tasty snack. It makes something that's quick and enjoyable, something that you can just grab now and eat in 15 minutes. Something instantaneous, something really enjoyable. You know, I remember the first time when I came into assembly fellowship, and I got up and I prayed and I quoted a verse from Isaiah chapter 53. You know what it was? It was just a little bit of parched corn. Something that's just on the surface. Something that's just simple. Something I could just grab that morning and bring with me. Can I just ask you, young men, about your worship? What are you bringing? You see, the first thing David is giving, he says it's just a little bit of parched corn. Can I encourage you, young men? We love it when we see young people, young men rising to their feet and just offering a little bit of parched corn. You know, when it comes to the parched corn, what does it take? How do you actually make it? Well, you got to go pick it. And then you got to heat it. You know, when it comes to rising to your feet for the first time on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night, I tell you, you'll feel the heat. And the old armpits get a little moist and the forehead starts to water drop. What's happening? You're starting to feel the heat. But it nourishes the people of God. You know, sometimes though, young men make mistakes. What happens? People are going to jump on you. I remember a man told me one time, I was praying about the first Adam and the second Adam. He says, no, it's the first Adam and the last Adam. He gave a little bit of heat. He just gave me a little bit of correction. It's a little thing, it just helped me out a little bit. But you know, be careful, brethren, with our young people, that you don't apply too much heat. You know what happens when you apply too much heat with corn? It pops. Don't do that to them. But there's the odd time you might need to be popped. If you're saying things that aren't right, you just might need it, but just be careful. But it takes a little bit of heat. But then the second thing that he's told to bring, he says, listen, don't just bring the large basket full of parched corn. He says, but you bring into the assembly, you bring to that company of people, he says, you bring them 10 loaves of bread. Now things are getting bigger here. It's not just a basketful. It's 10 loaves. There's something complete about it. And the thing about bread is this. You can't just decide to make it now and eat it in 15 minutes. It takes a little bit more time. It takes a Monday morning reading. It takes a Tuesday morning reading. It takes the week. And you spend time in your gathering. And you're bringing things together. You need to collect the wheat. You need to crush it. You need to sift it. You need to put it all together. It's going to take some time in the oven. It's going to take some time to grow with the yeast. But as it grows, it gets larger and larger and larger. I remember the first time, likely 16 or 18 years old, when I did a study on Moses. Sitting at the dining room table at home. You know what I learned? When you study this book, it just starts to grow. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And here David, he comes to his brethren and he's carrying now 10 loaves of bread. What did the bread represent? It just represented a whole bunch of work. You know, if you're going to nourish the people of God, you can't just do it in a whimsical way. It's not all just popcorn and fluff. You need to spend a little bit of time, get into the field and get gathering. Spend some time sifting things through. Make things that are large, make them small, and then bring them together to make something large. That's how you nourish the people of God. But he didn't just bring the parched corn. And he didn't just bring the 10 loaves of bread. But his father tells him, listen, David. He said, bring them 10 pieces of cheese. Now, cheese is different. You see, I could start making corn, parched corn right now, and I could eat it in 15 minutes. I could start making bread in the morning, and I could eat it in the afternoon, but not cheese. It all starts with life. Of course, when it comes to the corn, there's a moment when it's taken off the stalk, off a living stalk. Of course, when it comes to the bread, there's a moment when the wheat is picked and you take off that head of wheat. But when it comes to the corn, to the cheese rather, it comes from that living animal. But it's a long process. It doesn't just start an hour before to enjoy later. It starts now. And you know what it has to do? It has to work. It has to age. It's going to take time. You know, you get up and you listen, or you sit and you listen to some men that get up here, and you know what they're giving us? They're just giving us blocks of cheese. You see, with the corn, it's light and it's fluffy. With the bread, there's a little bit more substance there. But with the cheese, there's density. There's age. There's maturity. But David comes and he brings it to the captain of the host. Can I encourage you, young men, don't just be happy with popcorn in your worship. Go a little deeper. Spend the week and bring us some loaves of bread. Spend a lifetime and bring us blocks of cheese. And what does David do? David comes and he gives it all to the assembly. And where does he say it came from? He says, it came from my father. Never get taken up with pride when it comes to your worship. You know, it's very tempting. You get up and you're preaching the gospel, and the Lord gives you help, and you sit down, and as Dave says, you wouldn't call the king your cousin. You feel so good. But you know, you got to remember, he gave it to me. When it comes to your worship on a Sunday morning, you come to the place of the strong tree. Remember, you'd have nothing to offer if it wasn't for the tree, for the cross of Calvary. And here's a man, David, he comes. And his ambition is this: I just want to encourage the people of God. With the three things that he brings, go through them in the order they're given. They all increase in their workload: the corn, the bread, and the cheese. They all increase in their weight: the corn, the bread, and the cheese. They all increase in their worth: the corn, the bread, and the cheese. You know, I hope my worship tomorrow is more substantial than it was 10 years ago. I hope there's growth. I hope there's development. See, here we are, young people, here today. Teenagers, let me ask you, what are you going to bring into the assembly? What are you going to bring into the assembly? You know, the next thing, though, that I noticed about David is this. He brings in encouragement to the people of God. There's nothing like it when a young man or a young woman comes into the assembly. And the assembly sees them as they move in on that first Lord's Day morning. And the kids in the back row were all watching them as they take their first sip of wine and they tee-hee at the face. And you see the shaky little hand as it goes up to the loaf of bread and they take their first piece. And they take what was maybe their allowance and they put it in the offering bag. But it encourages the people of God. But here's David, he comes in. And the first thing that you notice is this. David, he's a young boy and he's done his homework. He's done the work at home. He knew what it was to be in the sheepfold. He knew what it was to be in the field. But now he's arrived and he's here for the fight. And when he's here for the fight, you can tell he's here for a purpose. He's a boy that's done his homework. And he comes and he brings value to the assembly. I believe with all my heart that every young man and woman here in this audience this afternoon, you have value that you can bring to the assembly, but you're only going to do it if you come with commitment. We need you to be 100% committed to the assembly. We need you to come in to nourish the people of God. And we need you to come in just to encourage us. He's a boy, he's done his homework. He brings value to the assembly. But you know, the next thing that you're going to notice about David is this. He's a man and he's willing to do hard work. Where does he go? He goes right to the front lines. He jumps right into the trenches. And he says, listen, I'm here to work. Let's go. Are you here to work? You willing to work? You say, well, how do I work? You shovel the steps. You vacuum the floor. You mop the great basement. You bring a snack on Sunday. That's how you do the work. Here's David, he's a man and he's willing to do the work. But he jumps into the trenches with excitement and with energy. And I love it when young people come into the assembly because they just have a bit of drive about them. I was going to say like us older guys don't have. I'm 38. But you know, I realize I don't quite have the energy I used to have. And I can look at my older brethren and I realize, unfortunately, those men don't have the energy. But what I see is this, is I see young men and women coming into the assembly, and they're the future. Do you know you're the future of the assembly? Yes, you. You say, well, it's just me. No, you're the future of the assembly. The assembly in Sussex depends on you. You are the future. The assembly in Summerside depends on you. You are the assembly. It comes down to you. You're it. That's it. And David comes in and he says, listen, I'm here for the fight and I'm willing to do the hard work. He's a man with a little bit of vigor. But the final thing I want you to notice is this. He doesn't just come in already having the homework done. He doesn't just come in willing to do the hard work. But you did notice what he says to Saul. He says, Saul, I'm here for heart work. He says to all those people out there, he says, don't let a single one of them fail at heart, because I'm here to encourage them in their heart. You know, come into the assembly and encourage us. You know, nothing warms our hearts more than to see a young man and a young woman living for God. He comes in. He brings value. He comes in. He brings vigor. He comes in with a vision. Thank God for young men with vision. You know, but the next thing you're going to notice is this. He comes into the assembly with discernment. Of course, you know, when it comes to this man, Saul, Saul's a beautiful picture of the flesh in an unfortunate way, but he is. And Saul, he comes and he gets David, and he's going to give David some instruction. Listen, your flesh will give you all kinds of signals. It'll give you all kinds of instruction. Be careful what instruction you take. Because just like Samuel warned the nation about Saul, he says, Saul's going to take everything. He says, Saul's going to take your sons, and Saul's going to take your daughters. Saul, he says, he's going to take your vineyards, and he's going to take your olive yards. Saul, he's going to take your fields, and he's going to take your flocks. He's going to take your servants, and he's going to take your manservants. He said he's just going to come in, and he's going to take absolutely everything away. That's what happens if you follow the flesh. If you follow after the flesh, there'll be no place for you in the assembly of God, because there'll be nothing left of you. It takes everything. The first thing that happens with this is this. David is summoned. Saul, he makes an announcement. And this is what he says. It says that he sent for him. Bring the boy. The flesh will call after you. Make no mistake. Behind that flesh is satanic power. A satanic energy that would love to destroy all usefulness for God. Saul, he summons him. But the next thing that Saul does, he doesn't just summon him and say, come to me. Saul, he suppresses him. And he looks at a young man and he says, you're not able to do it. He looks at a young man and he says, you're far too young. You can't do it. You know, I wonder if there's someone here this afternoon, like our brother just reminded us, and you have in your heart the desire, maybe it's me, Lord, maybe you want me to be an overseer in God's assembly. And the flesh comes in and says, not you, you can't do it. Not you, you're too young. The flesh. But the next thing that happened is this. The flesh, it surrounded him. Saul, after totally degrading this young man, he says, listen, if you're going to make it out in that world, I'll show you just exactly what you need. You need to take this thing and put it on your head. It's going to surround you. And Saul, he takes a piece of armor and he puts it on the head of David, and it just surrounds him. You know, it's interesting what our brother Alan spoke on this morning. The first thing the flesh it targets is your head. If it can get into your thinking, pretty soon it'll take over your whole body. And by the end of it, David, he has things in his hand that he never should have been holding. How did it happen? It all happened in his head. You know, David, he watches everything that's happening, and in this moment he makes the calculated decision. He says, yes, I've been summoned by the flesh. I've been suppressed by the flesh. I've been surrounded by the flesh. He says, but I'm not going to succumb to the flesh. He says, I'm not going to take any of these things. I don't need a single one of these things. He said, take away the armor and give me ability. Take away the armor and give me ambition. Take away the armor and give me the Almighty God of heaven. All I need to bring into the assembly is the Almighty. Listen, brethren and sisters, can I tell you, keep the flesh out of the assembly. He'll destroy the place. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. Watch where your head goes. Watch what your eyes look at. Watch what your hands they handle. Because if you allow the flesh to get a grip on you, it'll absolutely destroy you and it'll eliminate the power of God. Basically, what Saul was saying was this. If you get these things, if you put on the armor that I provide, not the armor of God, you put on the armor that I provide, you don't need God. David and his discernment. You know, the final thing I want to look at, though, is this. Is David and his assignment. You're coming into the assembly. What are you going to be in 20 years? Do you want to know the truth? You don't got a clue. You have no idea. David left home with a large basket full of corn, 10 loaves of bread, and 10 blocks of cheese. What he didn't know was that God had an assignment for him, and he was a man that was perfectly fit for the job because he was willing to do it. But it wasn't easy, and it wasn't taken lightly. David, he took it serious. He leaves the armory of Saul. He makes his way down a hillside, and he comes into a valley. What does he take with him? He carries a staff. That staff reminded him of the mighty workings of God in his past. With that staff in hand, he killed a bear. With that staff in hand, he killed a lion. Because God gave him the help, he carried the staff. Cherish those moments, young people, when you realize that God has worked in my past. If he's worked in the past, I assure you he can work today. And David carries a staff. The next thing you watch is David comes along with a staff in hand. He gets to the edge of the water and he stoops down. In the moment of stooping, he's all alone. No brethren. No Saul. No father. No army. It's just David and his God. In that moment, on his knees, he's looking for direction. He's looking into waters that are rippling. He's looking into a future that's uncertain. But he just cries out to his God on his knees. David, and he's stooping. You know, the next thing, though, that he does is this. As he's crouched down with his staff in his hand, he reaches his hand into the stream. And the stream begins to wash. And the stream continues to trickle along. The current takes any dirt off his hands and takes it downstream as he dips his hand into the icy cold water. The stream, of course, reminds us of the Word of God. Before any assignment is given to a man, before you're going to have a purpose in the assembly, you need to get your hand into the stream of the Word of God. In that stream, David would find the direction for the future. In that stream, David would find cleansing for his hands. It wasn't all that many years later that David cries out to the God of heaven after getting his hands dirty. And as he cries to his Father in heaven, he says, "Create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be restored unto thee." David came to learn this. If I'm going to do anything for God, I need to have clean hands. But there was a day that David got dirty hands, and he just comes to the God of heaven. He says, "God, please clean my hands." And what he realized was this: when he came clean of his sin, he knew God can still use me.
There might be someone here today, and you look back to a dark past, moments of sin, moments of regret. Clean your hands. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David comes with his staff. He stoops. He dips his hand in the stream. And he starts to pick up stones. One at a time, he picks them up. And as he picks them up, he finds that they're smooth. How do they get smooth? They got smooth by the running water. These are stones that are proved. These are stones that the water had gone over and over and over again. And he could count on those stones, those smooth, round stones. Remember when it came to the flesh. Remember when it came to the armor. David says, I can't take this armor because it's never been proved. But here's something. Whatever you find in the Word of God has been proven. It's worth trusting. It's worth counting on. And David goes in and he takes one. How many did he need? He only needed one. How many did he get? God gave him five. If you come to God, I'll tell you this, I've learned it time and time again. He always gives you more than you ask for, every time. And David walks away with five smooth stones. He takes the stones. He puts them in a sack. You know what's happening? David went down to that river as a young man that was just a lightweight. But he walks away with a little bit of weight behind him. Why? Because he spent time in the stream. You know, as you come into the assembly, realize this. You're just coming in as a lightweight, and that's okay. But spend some time in the stream, and you're going to get some weight behind you. You're going to get when you get up to speak, people will actually start listening to you. Why? Because you carry some weight with you, because you spent some time in the stream. And then, and only then, David pick up a sling. He makes his way across the valley. He slings a stone and he kills the giant. What did David do? David was just obedient. And David was willing. I believe with all my heart that there's young men here today and young women here today, and God wants to use you. Come into the assembly. If you're not, get baptized, come into the assembly, but come into the assembly with commitment. Come into the assembly with a desire to nourish the people of God. Come into the assembly with a desire to encourage the people of God. Come into the assembly and always have good discernment in regards to the flesh. And God will give you an assignment to do. And the assignment will be this. It'll be to better the people of God. So I challenge you all here today. What happened in the next chapter? All the women, they come together. What do they start to do? They all start to sing. We just were reminded of a God that started to sing. But you know, I want to just encourage you here today. When we see a young person going on for God, it creates in us a heart that just wants to sing to the God of heaven and give Him thanks for the work that He's done in the life of a young man or a young woman. So I leave you with these words of encouragement today when it comes to the assembly of God.